Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Brian Miller, president of the Entrepreneur Source. And the Entrepreneur Source is ranked among the top consulting franchises in the country by Entrepreneur Magazine. The Entrepreneur Source is known as the nation's premier source for self-employment options, franchising information, education, and training. What makes them strong is their corporate performance enhancement team dedicated to maintaining the confidentiality and earning the trust of their clients, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Our show today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear an interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to listen to our new podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews, show number 96. Can you imagine? How are you doing today?
Yeah, doing great, Marty. How about yourself this week?
Good. Busy week. And as I just mentioned, show 96, you know, it's just, it's really incredible. Slowly approaching that 100 mark, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
We're just about there, you know. It's just been an incredible ride. So,
very
excited. The last
50 shows have gone pretty quickly.
They sure have. You know, I mean, it was funny. I was thinking about it, you know, when we did like our 10th show, I think that was with James Stultz of, Comerica. I mean, that was like a, you know, milestone, you know, and then we hit our 50th and now we're approaching that 100 mark. So it's just been been incredible, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice the interest we're getting in the show, and I just have interviews, you know, pretty much lined up until early next year. So
yeah, absolutely, all the way into February. So it's been very interesting. But our last show, we met with Peter Baldine, who was the chief development officer for Moran Industries. And in 1956, Dennis Moran founded Moran Industries based on the simple statement, Americans depend on their cars, and they can depend on us. But it was a very interesting show. Great guy, really enthusiastic, you know, about what he does.
Yeah, he showed a lot of passion. Yeah.
He sure did, you know. So I enjoyed having him on the show. Any thoughts from last week?
Well, I mean, you know, just great experience. Been in franchising mm-hmm. since 1980s with Jiffy Lube.
Right.
And we always like to ask the question, you know, what are some of the top characteristics that you want to see in and some of your franchise prospects?
Right.
Gave a great answer. I guess he described it as his drive system.
Mm-hmm.
And drive stands for dedication.
That was great.
And then respect, integrity. Vision and enthusiasm spells out
drive. That was clever, wasn't it? It's a clever acronym. You know, I wonder who came up with that one.
Right.
So it's pretty
interesting. Well, you know, for now, we'll say that you came up with it.
Okay, we'll take credit for that one. I like how he spoke about. He had this fantastic article. It was in, I don't know if you saw it. It was in Franchising World. It was in the November 2007 edition. The article is called Gaining an Edge with Vendor-Supplier Relations. You know, and a lot of times, Don, we talk about the importance of franchising. And really what it is a relationship. You know, and a lot of times we'll say, you know, it's a relationship between the franchisor and the franchisee. But his article even went deeper. You know, it's talking about having a relationship with the franchisor, having a relationship with its vendor-suppliers. By having that relationship, I mean, the franchisee really does benefit, you know. I mean, they're able to save money, just all sorts of things, you know. So it was a fantastic article. I never really thought about that before, you know. So every show is always a learning experience. I like all these new gadgets that are available, too. I never asked you this, but if you have, like, a GPS system on your car yet, do you have that yet, or does Sharon have that? Or
yes, yeah, we have that.
You do? Okay, we don't have one yet. I've been fighting off getting one for a long time, but I have a feeling that this is going to be the year I'm going to have to get Connie one. But all this new technology going on in the automotive industry, I mean, it's certainly added to helping Moran Industries, you know. They're definitely capitalizing on that as well. You know, they're taking advantage of that trend. So,
well, it's a $300 billion industry, I guess, the automotive industry.
And it's growing, too. Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, when you're talking those kind of numbers and those numbers keep going up, I mean, that
right.
says a lot, you know. So it was a fantastic show. I mean, I would definitely like to have those guys come back next year, you know, and perhaps.
Yeah, I like how they're diversified. They have
yeah.
co-branding. He was glad we brought it up. He was going to mention it anyway, so someone could have auto glass tinting and
mm-hmm.
and have a couple other concepts like Mr. Transmission. And so I thought that was interesting and a pretty good selling tool when they're speaking to prospects, knowing they have you know, several different brands and that you could co-brand, which a lot of people
Absolutely.
Like.
Right.
Which is, you know, pretty big in franchising. Like, for example, Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins has been
right.
a pretty good match.
Yum Brands has been fantastic at co-branding as well. I think they're known as, like, the
right.
kings of co-branding as well, you know. So they've
right.
done an exceptional job with that as well. So, yeah, no, it was good. And I think you brought up the question, so I'll give you credit for that one because I didn't think of it at the time.
It was pure luck, yeah.
There you go. But it's a fantastic show. If you missed the show, you know, go to our website, franchiseinterviews.com, and you can hear the show right from our homepage. So it's really fantastic. Our homepage now has a feature where you can hear the shows live as well as hear the last four shows that we've done up to this point. So really cool technology there as well. So what do we have going on today, Don, over the next 3-4 months?
Well, today, Brian Miller, like we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
president of the Entrepreneur Source. They're ranked among the top consulting franchises in the country by Entrepreneur Magazine. Next week, we're meeting with Shirley Warrington, VP of Franchise Development for Decor and You. They're a dynamic interior decorating franchise.
That's interesting.
So I guess
isn't
our
it?
Wives to be listening in on that.
That's right.
And my mom, who's been in the business a long time doing
That's
this.
Right. She has, yeah. So she most definitely better listen.
Yep, definitely. October 30th, Marty, meeting with Tamara Loring of Business Partner Franchise.
That's another interesting concept.
Interesting. And then over, like we talked earlier, we have a lot of shows booked over the next couple of months.
All right, we have Valpak, we have Cousin Subs, don't we? We have,
right.
You name it. I mean,
Pencil
it's just,
2,
it's,
Superior Wash. I mean, it goes into next year with
like, oh, yeah, some nice diversity there, you know, so I'm looking forward to, you know, the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Having some of these great guests on the show. This was, I know you had a lot of good articles, Don. I found a really fantastic one. Since starting the show 2 years ago, we've had 3 business coach franchises on the show. We had Action Coach, if you remember the great David Levine. I think he did our 3rd show with us, and he was just fantastic.
Right.
We had the Alternative Board. We also had 6 Disciplines, which is also a business coach
right.
franchise. Article came from Franchising World, Coaching Franchisees to Success in a Challenging Economy. So you can get the article online by, I think, going to, I think it's franchise.org. Let's see, it says, the tough economy has invaded every aspect in the business world. The effects of rising gas prices, food costs, and curbing spend habits among consumers are being felt in every industry. In franchising, the softening of the economy is serving as a loud wake-up call to franchisors. And by the way, this article is by Daniel Murphy. It says, taking action. Franchisors have 2 options. They could sit back and commiserate with their peers about lagging system-wide sales or fewer eager franchise buyers, or they can take proactive steps to combat their situation. From reading trade publications and watching television coverage, it's apparent that many franchisors are indeed taking progressive action, such as cutting production costs, reducing energy use, utilizing money-saving coupon promotions to entice consumers, and taking many other measures to attract and retain their customer base. And you and I even spoke about some of the other marketing tactics that franchisors are using,
right.
you know, to sell more franchises. It says, one additional approach that's increasingly being implemented by many franchisors is the use of group-oriented business coaching on system-wide level for their franchisees. Many franchise systems are finding that group business coaching is the final missing link in the total support and development of helping franchisees become more effective, more focused, and strategic owners of the franchise brand. By implementing a group-oriented strategic focusing process in their systems, franchisors will be giving franchisees the opportunity to work themselves and their businesses on a regular basis, usually quarterly. They'll be able to open and freely discuss techniques, problems, and solutions with their peers under the guidance of an objective and professional coach utilizing a proven coaching process. The article goes on and on. It's a fantastic article, but once again, it talks about the benefits of using a business coach, you know,
right.
And I think you and I have a bigger appreciation, you know, since, you know, meeting with
right.
guys like David Levine and
right.
Hearing, you know, a lot of these other franchises like the Alternative Board and Six Disciplines. So
right.
just a very
yeah,
great
there's
article.
There's room for improvement. You know, it's easy for a business owner to fall into a certain mode and like maybe being a little lax in certain areas of the business. That's what's nice about a coach. They can come in and take a fresh approach and look and see what areas can be improved upon to help the bottom line.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, it helps get you back on track. It keeps you accountable, you know.
Right.
And you know, I think a lot of times people would say, well, I can't afford a business coach right now. I think it's probably the best time, you know,
right.
for a business coach. You know, just like you and I were talking earlier, you know, it's really the best time to advertise your franchise. This is where you really want to increase your advertising. So just
right.
kind of interesting, you know, how people react during these times. They panic. So
right.
it's good to see that that franchisors are using the business coach model. Not all of them, but many of them are.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, interesting article.
Yeah.
I just want to mention, Marty, the Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo has a couple of their final shows for the year, I guess, in Long Island, New York this
okay.
weekend. And then in Chicago, November 22nd and 23rd has a show.
Right.
These are, you know, smaller shows. I've, you know, been to a couple of these in the past. People wanting information, go to usfranchiseexpos.com
okay.
to find out about these shows and where they're at and for the shows for next year.
Good.
I saw something in Fortune Small Business Magazine, article written by Ian Mount, and it's just titled simply Entrepreneurial, and it's a Q&A with Ken Blanchard, who wrote The One-Minute Entrepreneur, and also Dr. Scott Shane, who we had on the show, I guess,
right.
a month and a half back.
Famous guy, yeah. I mean,
right.
famous
just
book, The One-Minute Manager, yeah.
Right, and he wrote Illusions of Entrepreneurship. Dr. Scott Shane. So they,
that's right.
So the magazine asked a question here. It's been said that we're living through the most entrepreneurial period in American history. Care to comment? And Ken Blanchard writes, in the near future, the growth in jobs won't be coming from Fortune 500 companies, but from small entrepreneurial firms. There are two big populations interested in entrepreneurship. The first is young people, the Y generation. They've seen their parents be loyal corporate workers and be downsized and right-sized and outsized. The other group is the baby boomers. They're being
right.
told they should retire, but if they retire, they'll die. So they're starting companies. And Dr. Shane says the stats don't support this idea of a huge entrepreneurial surge in the U.S.
Right.
Remember, we had him on the show. We were kind of surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
In fact, a shrinking proportion of the American population run their own businesses. I call this the Walmart effect, the growth of huge technologically advanced companies. Like Walmart, has decreased the number of small businesses that can survive. The huge firms are so efficient, it's hard to compete. It's almost like you might as well work for them. So I thought that was...
It's very interesting. I mean, that was a very enlightening show, wasn't it?
Having
Dr. Shane on. I mean, it's just, I think it's become one of those must-read books and got a lot of publicity, by
right.
the way. That's very interesting.
So to you know, further comment on that, Ken Blanchard says, I agree that the Walmarts have had an impact. But, for example, in our town, there's a small hardware store. I asked the owner what effect Walmart has had, and he says he's too busy to worry about it. Because really, I think Walmart puts lousy businesses out of business. And then Dr. Shane says, the numbers show a rise in people who would like to work for themselves. A larger percentage of the population want to start their own businesses, but a smaller percentage are actually doing it.
Mm.
That's pretty interesting. Another question here. It says, Scott, your book suggests that entrepreneurs do best when they're in it for the money. Is that true? He says, it's not so much that starting a business for the money makes you more successful. It's more that starting a business for the reason most people do it, because they don't want to have a boss.
Right.
It's a bad reason. Often people don't want a boss because they don't want to be told what to do, but your customers often tell you what to do. And if you don't want to listen to anybody, you probably won't listen to your customers. So that was pretty interesting.
It was very interesting. I mean, when we had him on the show, you know, and he mentioned that, you know, a lot of these people going into business for themselves, I think it was like 30% of them felt that they didn't really have any type of competitive advantage, you know. So it was really the industry that they were choosing to go into. You know, there was really no need to open up or become like another plumber or cleaner or whatever it may be, you know. So it was very enlightening. We have that show. You can actually go to our interviews by category section. You can hear that whole interview with Dr. Shane. It's like a 45-minute interview, I think.
Right. Here's something, Marty, dated October 10th by Jacqueline Tropp. The Detroit News: workers open franchises with buyouts. Yeah, it starts out, in the dozen years Mark Bergman worked for Ford Motor Company's sales and marketing department, he dreamt of pizza. Finally, inspired by a television commercial calling for Little Caesars franchisees, he accepted a buyout package from Ford in February 07 and put the money toward his dream. "To me, it's happy food," said Bergman, who opened his second store in Metro Atlanta last month. "I can't tell you how many people come in with a smile on their face." And, you know, we've had franchises on the past, you know, like Rita's Ice, where, you know, that always creates a nice work atmosphere when a lot of the customers are happy. The recent economic turmoil has not dampened his plan to open a third store next spring, Bergman says. "Through good times and bad, people like pizza." That's very true. "From printing to pizza, aspiring entrepreneurs searching for a second career have almost 100 industries to choose from when shopping for a franchising opportunity." It's probably more around 80, but anyway. "More and more of Michigan's recently retired from production line workers to white-collar workers are using severance money to open franchises and go into business for themselves. Bergman is one of more than a dozen former Big Three automotive workers who have opened Little Caesars franchises after taking buyouts in recent years," according to David Scarvano, president of the Detroit-based pizza chain. "Franchising is a way to take their nest egg and invest it in something they can control," he says. "The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. However, the credit squeeze is expected to make franchising tougher for existing franchisees and would-be entrepreneurs." We've talked about this on recent shows.
Right.
You know, the financing is tighter, but people are still getting financing. Just have to go. It's just nowhere to go. Earlier this week, Domino's Pizza chairman and CEO David Brandon said that the global credit crunch is forcing some Domino's Pizza franchise owners out of business as banks cut off loans. And that's really incredible. People have been in business many years. We are talking about people who have 20-year relationships with their banks, and suddenly they are being turned away, Brandon says. "Many of our owners have three or four franchises. It's a very tough situation. Experts warn that the cost of franchising can be high, even though for those with a solid line of credit, and that life as a franchise owner often evokes challenges unlike those encountered in the corporate world. That's not necessarily a wise thing or a good thing," says Nick Bibby, principal of franchise consultant Bibby Group in Shreveport, Louisiana. We've had him on the show.
Yeah, we know Nick. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Good friend of ours. "Buying a franchise is in no way, shape, or form a safety net. That's a huge misconception. Stuff that we've always talked about in the 2 years, Marty, that franchising, obviously a much lower chance of failure as opposed to opening a non-franchise business. But it's, you know, you have to work at it. You, just like anything else, you got to put in the time and work. It says nearly 75,000 jobs were cut from the state's automotive sector between 03 and 07, according to the Michigan Department of Labor. Incredible, over 75,000 jobs. Though no group keeps figures on the number of career changers who go into franchising, franchisors around Metro Detroit report that they've got hundreds of inquiries from displaced auto workers. The price to open a franchise can range from $8,000 for a mobile painting business to, you know, to multi-millions for a luxury hotel. With severance packages can help a potential franchisee meet financial requirements imposed by the parent company. Not everyone is made for self-employment, Bibby says. Potential franchisees must have the internal drive to work long hours and be willing to cope with uncertainty. So this was, you know, obviously, you know, pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's an important article, you know, and, you know, it's interesting. It makes me think of the last couple of years of doing this show. I know that there were certain companies that are actually looking to target specifically the Michigan area, you know, Detroit. They're doing a lot of marketing up there. I don't know if it's like a lot of like newspaper advertising and things like that, but just because of all the auto workers, you know, being laid off and things like that. So that is very interesting. And again,
And this is a nice aspect. I was just going to say, Marty, of franchising, like with you know, veterans or you know, state like Michigan where so many workers are laid off. It's nice to know franchises are stepping up.
Right.
You know,
yet it's a terrible reason, though. Yeah, it's a terrible reason, though, to, I guess, go into your own business, right, though? I mean, just because you were laid off doesn't mean you should go into your own business either. You know, I mean, as we've had guests on the show say the same thing, you know, so it's
that's even more the reason to speak to a franchise consultant like the Entrepreneur Source to really find your inner self to bring up a lot of questions that you normally wouldn't think of. This is what a consultant can do, you know, just not to come back to you with some opportunities that are interesting. They're trying to match some opportunities that they feel would best fit what your interests are and your background and what you're looking to do, so you'll be most happy. Because in business, you got to have passion, you got to be happy. That's going to reflect in having a high chance of being successful.
Right, you have to be happy doing it. You know, you can't just buy a Subway because you like their product. You know, and we've mentioned that on the show before. So, you know, a lot of times, and we've heard great stories, you know, over the last 2 years of you know, with franchise brokers. But a lot of times when people approach a franchise broker, I think they do have something in mind, you know, whether it is a Dunkin' Donuts or a Quiznos or whatever it may be, just because they like the product, you know. And so the franchise broker is really fantastic at kind of guiding them in the right direction, you know. And then, as you said, going inside, you know, in their heads and getting a feel for, you know, what they think, what would make them happy. I always go back to fish window cleaning. You know, these two young guys who work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, I mean, they just wanted to spend more time with their families, and fish window cleaning was able to provide them with that opportunity. They never in a million years thought they would go into that kind of business, you know. And
and they went through a consulting, franchise consultant,
they did,
right?
I think they did. They went through a franchise broker, you know, and again, we've had dozens of stories where it's really worked out fantastic. Right. So I think it's great, you know, so it's a great article.
Yeah. Here's something, Marty, USA Today through the Associated Press by Lauren Shepard. Krispy Kreme hopes to heat up sales with ice cream.
Yeah, I've heard something
interesting
about this.
I mean, we've talked about Dunkin' Donuts now serving pizza and you know, a lot of the big name companies trying to, you know, diversify, change things up. It says Krispy Kreme signature glazed donuts may be best hot, but its sales have been anything but in recent years. Now the chain is hoping that going cold with new soft serve ice cream will be the catalyst it needs. The company's been trying to revive its sales for nearly 3 years amid a health craze that made its glazed donuts an indulgence that many just couldn't stomach. You know, I remember the first time I had a Krispy Kreme donut. I guess I was in up in North Jersey somewhere. Sharon went in, you know, she's a big coffee drinker, and came out and gave me a donut. I'm like, man, this is a great donut. Who makes this? First time. And
I remember that experience, too. I remember working in Manhattan, and you know, when people would bring in Krispy Kreme donuts, I mean, it was like, you know, the end-all, be-all. So it's just amazing what happened.
Yeah, so you can think with such a strong product, it just goes to show you that, you know, just management has so much to do with how a company does, either too fast of expansion or not, you know, being tied in with the trends.
So you think they're doing this to follow, like, Baskin-Robbins? I mean, is it to, you know, because, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin-Robbins, the two are kind of, like, co-branded with each other.
Right.
You think you're kind of, like, following that same strategy?
I mean, it sounds
like
it.
That's what they're doing.
Now industry watchers say Krispy Kreme Donuts' latest turnaround plan, which includes launching the new ice cream as well as opening smaller stores and expanding overseas, may still not be enough to help the chain climb out of its hole. We're trying to reposition themselves as more of a treat concept that offers consumers desserts and indulgences, as Bob Golden, Executive VP of Food Industry Research, Technomic. But it'll be hard to argue it's a growth business given trends toward eating healthier, he said. I think that was a big reason that hurt them a little bit.
Right.
But then, you know, chains like Dunkin' Donuts have done great, but, you know,
that's
I think they were much earlier in the co-branding. I don't think
they're
looking to co-brand. They're just looking to add some other.
Right. At that time, too, I guess there was the whole Atkins thing going on, too. I guess I'm trying to go back in time. I think it was like 1999. I remember that whole Atkins thing. Everyone seemed to be on it. You know, it's just like no carb or low carb, and I'm sure that didn't help Krispy Kreme at the time either. You know, again, it didn't really affect your Dunkin' Donuts, but you know, kind of interesting. So we'll have to keep our eye on that, you know, and maybe we'll eventually have those guys on the show, you know, and talk to them about all these exciting things that are going on. So this is a great article. Well, today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. and our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And don't forget to listen to our new podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising, and a new podcast actually just went out yesterday, Don. So our listeners will have to listen to that. And as I was saying earlier, we have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Brian Miller, who's the president of the Entrepreneur Source. And the Entrepreneur Source is ranked among the top consulting franchises in the country by Entrepreneur Magazine. And the Entrepreneur Source is known as the nation's premier source for self-employment options, franchising information, education, and training. Hey, Brian, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Brian. Brian, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and Don is the president of Diamond Financial Services, and I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Brian.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Being in the financing business, I've been able to work with many of your consultants around the country for years, so I've enjoyed the relationships. People like Bruce Krebs, Steve Rosenkranz, and I've liked working with your company. You guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that, and we certainly appreciate the relationship that we've had with Diamond Financial as well. So glad to hear that.
Good.
That's fantastic. Brian, we'd always like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Calling from Connecticut, actually, a town called Southbury, Connecticut, where our Performance Enhancement Center is located.
Ah, fantastic. And it's beautiful up there this time of year, isn't it?
I'm looking out my window, and I'm seeing a burst of orange and yellow and red. So, yeah, it's a fall, so it's a beautiful time in New England.
Can't beat
that.
Fantastic. Yeah, great.
No, absolutely. Brian, what were you doing before joining the Entrepreneur Source? I had a chance to read your bio. This is quite impressive.
Well, thank you. I've spent, this is my 21st year in franchising, actually.
Yeah.
I spent 16 years with another franchisor in the staffing industry and trained over 1,000 franchisees and their staff and worked with their field operations team and then eventually ran their national accounts. But I moved over to the Entrepreneur Source about 5 years ago, just celebrated my fifth anniversary. So I'm heading towards 22 years in franchising.
Wow, congratulations on that. It's fantastic.
Just tell us a little bit about the history of the Entrepreneur Source, Brian.
Well, yeah, it's really exciting, and particularly right now, you know, you can't obviously turn on the television or, log on to the Internet and see, you know, what's happening with the economy. We call it the new career economy. Certainly, it's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago when our parents went to work for a company for 20 or 30 years and expected to retire with that gold watch and that absolute security of the pension plan. It's not like that today. And what our company has done for the last 24 years is really help people who are seeking to become self-sufficient. They're not sure what they want to do. And our unique slice of the marketplace is that, 24 years ago, our CEO and founder, Terry Powell, did a study of people who were looking to become self-employed, and he found that about 75% of the adult population has a grain of sand or desire to want to control their own destiny, but only about 5% of them are what you would call ready, willing, and able. In other words, only about 5% of them decided, yeah, I'm ready to go into business. Well, our market niche is really for that other 70%, the people that are uncertain about what they want to do. We take them through a unique coaching process that helps them identify their goals, needs, and expectations, helps them figure out what they want the business to do for them. I was listening to your show a little bit earlier, and you made a couple of great points about people have a preconceived notion about what kind of business that they want or what they think they will do because of their skills or what they've done in the past. And by going through our process, we find that about 95% of our clients wind up in an opportunity that they never would have considered or had previously dismissed, because we kind of help them look at the business through the eyes of a business owner instead of through the eyes of a consumer.
Yeah, that's amazing. That statistic, it's really incredible.
Just interesting about eSource, helping people to find a franchise, and then it's a franchise itself. When did Terry actually get the idea of franchising the consulting service of the Entrepreneur Source?
Well, we've been in business for 24 years, and we've been franchising for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary at our conference in Miami. We're now a multi-brand franchise organization as well. So we've been franchising for about 10 years, and it was through his association with the International Franchise Association, some of his mentors there, that he decided to franchise. And You know, that's one of the things I was talking to. I did a presentation for the Women's Franchise Committee last night at the headquarters of Subway, speaking of healthy foods and franchise growth. They just opened their 30,000 stores. They had
that's
a big
incredible.
Banner hanging up in their lobby when I went in last night. You know, as Terry recognized that, you know, he recognized that, you know, there was great opportunity in the franchising sector, but also to be able to coach people from the perspective of walking a mile in their moccasins. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of our coaches last night at that Subway event, and she said, you know, she was talking to a prospect that she's working with right now who understandably is a little bit nervous, a little bit concerned about what's happened in the economy. And she was really able to empathize with him because she said, I've went through exactly what you went through. You know, I'm a single parent, and I made that leap to go into business for myself. So it brings a unique perspective of we're coaching people and versus some of the competition that's out there that might be independent reps or employees or things of that nature. Our coaches have actually gone through the same process that they're taking their clients through.
That's important.
And you know, what better way to teach someone?
Right.
Than having gone through it themselves and, you know, 100% believe in the system has been successful for them. So I imagine that, you know, that point will get across to the, you know, to their clients, of course.
Well, you know, it's all about helping people to move through the emotions that they go through, and that's what our coaching process is all about. It's really helping people identify what they want the business to do for them and helping them make that leap from being what we call a seeker, where they're just seeking information, to making that transition to being a business owner. Because we call it a journey of discovery that we take the clients through, and it definitely helps if you've been through that process yourself. You can relate to the emotional kinds of things that they're displaying about fear and uncertainty and those kinds of things, and really help them learn. And that's the unique thing about our process, is it's not a high-pressure sales approach. It's all about helping them learn about career alternatives that might be out there. And particularly right now, with some of the things that you guys mentioned on your show today, with what's happening with the job market and the economy, certainly just because you've lost your job isn't necessarily a reason to go into business for yourself. But I will tell you that what we're seeing, and what we did a third-party market research study about 2 or 3 years ago on the current state of the job market, and that's what I refer to as the new career economy. The marketplace out there is changing. The big companies, I mean, think about Lehman Brothers, been in existence through two world wars, 150 years, gone. The banks that are having challenges. You know, if you think that security is going to be with the big companies and Wall Street, that's not going to be the case. Small business is driving the economy and will continue to drive the economy. And in particular, franchising, we've seen just stunning exponential growth over the last several years in franchising. And franchising contributes significantly to the economic output of our country.
Yep, and Marty and I are always going over
point,
all the stats and the statistics state that. And, I mean, it's why on the financing end, Brian, of course, we only just work in franchising loans, because the banks feel it's a much safer loan, a much lower chance of failure. It's why we've just specialized in the industry. And you're right, there's been some nice growth. And, you know, there's always going to be risk in a good, you know, good economy, bad economy. Yeah, it's more the reason to get all the facts, do your due diligence, you know, speak to, you know, a solid e-source rep, and, you know, go from there. How do you describe I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you obviously, there's always going to be risk in any investment, and you need to, you know, check it out and you know, do all your homework and all your validation.
Right.
And, you know, not only look at the company, but also look at the industry sector. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, Brian, can you describe or how do you describe the Entrepreneur Sources franchise system to a potential owner?
Well, we describe it as business coaching. You know, we help individuals who are seeking to become self-employed, and then we provide business coaching to those who do, which is a little bit unique in the sense that there's some people out there that do placement coaching or franchise coaching, help people look at investing in businesses. But the other side of what we do and what we have metamorphosed into, you know, over the course of the last 24 years, in particular the last three, is providing business coaching to small businesses, whether they be an independent business or whether they be a franchise business as well. One of the things we're particularly excited about is we have just struck a unique strategic alliance with the eMyth Worldwide Organization. Of course,
yeah,
the eMyth.
That, yeah.
Yeah, The E-Myth Revisited is a book that was written by Michael Gerber, which really talks about why most small businesses don't work and what to do about it. And we have put together over the course of the last year, we've been working diligently to put together a series of e-learning training programs as well as 14 group workshops, all based on the E-Myth principles but adapted for the franchising sector. And so what we do is we help our clients determine through this educational process that supports our coaching what they want the business to do for them. And we do give them that education about, you know, whether or not they should be staying where they're at or investing in an independent business or looking at a franchise. And
right.
Then we help them by teaching them some basic business skills and what they need to know to be successful when they actually enter business. So, you know, I would describe our system as a business coaching and education company helping individuals who are seeking to become self-employed and then providing coaching to people so they can be successful once they're in business.
That's interesting. I suspect that you probably make a lot of your people read that book as well, Brian, don't you? The E-Myth.
Well, you know, that is really part of the process, you know, is that we encourage our clients to read the E-Myth Revisited because, you
right.
know, the entrepreneurial myth is doing what you know and love will bring you success, and that's
right.
just not the case. And that's why I said we help people look at things through the eyes of the business owner than a consumer. People have a tendency to fall in love with a product or service or believe that because, you know, they have a skill in a particular area that they're going to be a great business owner at it. And, in fact, that can be a dangerous trap for people to run in. So we help, you know, what a coach does, really, a coach defined, is helps you look at things from a different perspective. And what we do with our clients as we take them through this process is help them, you know, look at a business through the eyes of the business owner and help them evaluate other opportunities that they can be successful in other than what their perceptions are, at least when they first come to us.
That's fantastic.
I thought that was a great move, adding the business coaching aspect of it. And by the way, we've had Michael Gerber on the show twice in the past, so we're big fans of
Michael fantastic,
Gerber.
Yeah.
Yes, he spoke at our conference in Miami. He's pretty excited about our strategic alliance, so he did two sessions at our conference. We had over 550 people at one of our events with 100 different franchise companies and a couple hundred people from those franchise companies, and Michael spoke at that as well as spoke at a private event for our coaches as we were launching this new program, which is called FAST, by the way, Franchise Accelerated Success Training, and it's only available through an Entrepreneur Source coach.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Interesting.
One of the new questions we've been asking our guest, Brian, is what role has technology played in your business?
Well, technology is a huge part of our business because most of our coaches work with their clients on a virtual basis, at least on the placement, what we call the placement coaching side for people who are interested in purchasing businesses. And it has really allowed our coaches to basically be able to operate their business from anywhere. We have, you know, a 24/7 brain trust, which really includes all the information that the coaches need to be able to work with their clients. Their client center is in that, as well as we work with a couple hundred different franchise companies, and all of the data on those franchise companies and their opportunity is in our web-based system. So technology has really helped us in a couple of different ways. Number one, you know, our coaches can be in Los Angeles, California, and can be working with somebody that one of their clients that's in you know, New York City, New York, or you know, in Sarasota, Florida. So technology has allowed us to be able to operate our business more virtually and doesn't require bricks and mortar. To a lesser extent on the business coaching side, we usually meet with our clients face-to-face, but beyond that, we use the technology to be able to coach our clients over the phone. The second thing that technology has done for us is we are a big believer, and we've been a pioneer in the franchise system on distance learning and e-learning. One of the reasons why we're excited about our relationship with eMyth is because we've created with them this distance learning, this e-learning program. But technology has allowed us to be able to provide unbelievable training, 24/7, just-in-time training to all of our franchisees. We have a system that we use through Saba software, which allows us to actually do webinars with prospective franchisees. as well as we have over 200 courses that are archived for our franchisees that they can take online. And in addition to that, we also have automated our pre-training process, that all of that is done through our technology as well. So technology has helped us be able to service our clients, and it's helped us really to be able to train our franchisees and our coaches a lot better.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it must be interesting for Terry, who started the company, you know, to see all these things that you probably, I guess, you couldn't do 10 years ago, Brian, you know, so it must be an exciting time for the Entrepreneur Source. I think that's fantastic.
Well, Terry has always been on the leading edge of whatever technology was available, and as I mentioned, you know, we're one of the franchisors are just now getting turned on to the idea of using e-learning and distance learning, because they can train their franchisees all over the world, and they don't have to fly them to a location to pay money for the franchisees to fly in. They can use the economies of scale, and it doesn't require
Absolutely.
As much from their staff, you know, as well. So, yeah, Terry's very excited about it and is always on the forefront of, you know, whatever new technology is there, like the e-learning with the franchisees.
Right.
He's always definitely behind it. Very exciting.
That's fantastic. That's great. Any numbers on the industry, Brian, as far as, like, how big your industry is?
Well, yeah, and you know, there's two things I think are important to understand about that. Number one, and I mentioned this, and then I'll answer your question directly, but the franchising sector itself, I would encourage your listeners to go on to franchise.org, which is the website for the International Franchise Association, of which we're a member, and we sponsor the Entrepreneur of the Year Award. There's some pretty impressive statistics on the growth of franchising there, which is, you know, our company being the Entrepreneur Source, we're obviously very pro-small business and obviously very pro-franchising, but I think your listeners would find it pretty amazing to learn that in 2005, more than 900,000 franchise establishments generated over $880 billion of direct economic output. That's over 4.4% of the private sector economy. And here, you know, as you listen to the presidential election and you hear everybody talking about how to create more jobs,
right.
Well, the franchising sector just jumped ahead of durable goods and manufacturing. And the study that was just completed in 2005 showed that franchise business.
Are you there, Brian? Hello?
Marty?
Oh, you there, Don?
Yeah.
I think we lost Brian. I think we got disconnected or something.
Right.
So I'm still here. But those numbers are incredible.
Yeah, he's going to bring it up. So again, franchise.org. And that's something we always go over, statistics and you know, just the growth of franchise. But it brought up a good point, how the franchise industry is passing certain industries in growth.
That's incredible, isn't it?
And I think you get to the point of you know, franchising has to be, you know, looked at, and it is with the IFA helping and everything, just how serious an industry it is.
Well, it's funny. I'm going to have to go back to the recording with Brian, and I suspect he might call back in, but I was writing down these numbers because, you know, I have that presentation in Chicago in like 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm writing down these numbers, you know, as he's talking about it. But again, I could simply go to franchise.org, you know, and
we should eventually put that on our websites, all these updated stats as we get it. I mean, we've mentioned it on the show, but we should, you know, get that organized and have that as a section on our websites.
No, absolutely. It's an interesting partnership that they have, and I don't know if you knew this. I forgot to tell you about this because I just found out about this 2 days ago, that they had with the eMyth. You know, I mean, that's quite amazing. And it makes sense if you think about it, doesn't it?
Right. It seems like it would be a nice fit. Both companies, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, so, you know, and again, it's always interesting to hear Michael. It's amazing how often Michael Gerber's name is mentioned on the show, you know. And I think we have Brian back. Let me see if I can pull him back in. Hey, Brian, I think we got a little disconnected for a second, but you're giving us some great information. So Don and I were just kind of going over it again.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I left off at, but to a large extent, the franchising sector is growing, producing a significant mm-hmm. portion of jobs in the U.S. economy, will continue to do so. What we do, the franchise and business coaching, is certainly growing as well. We have about 32% of the market share, largely because of our involvement with the International Franchise Association and the number of locations that we have.
Right,
right.
That's fantastic.
You just have solid people with a really nice background. And that was going to be my next question, is what type of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee? I've worked with a lot of the consultants and coaches and very solid business people, but what are some of the specific characteristics that you guys look for?
Well, that's a great question, and we certainly look for we have a very diverse group of franchisees and franchise owners. There's really a couple of things that we look for. It's helpful if they have a business background or some type of business background. Although we have people from all walks of life that are teachers and accountants and people who have been in marketing and sales mm-hmm. and those kinds of things.
Right.
But what I tell people is, you first of all, when you're looking to go into any franchise business, you need to have the mentality that you're going to work on the business instead of in the business.
Right.
That you're going to be focused on marketing and driving your business. So we too look for people who are marketers. Secondarily, we look for people who have the capacity to follow an operating system, because what a franchisor has done, whether it be the Entrepreneur Source or Subway or any other franchisors, they have institutionalized the buying experience. Americans are very brand conscious, and we buy things based upon mm-hmm. the quality that we associate with a particular brand or the service. And what a franchisor has done is institutionalized the successful buying experience so that it's a replicatable and duplicatable process. And what you look for is you look for people that are going to have the capacity to follow that process, because you want your brand to be delivered exactly the same way no matter who they go to. I've talked quite a bit today about the fact that we use a coaching process, and we want that coaching process to be used with our clients all over the U.S. So we look for people who are marketers. We look for people who have the capacity to follow our system, because we know, first of all, that's what our consumers want, our clients want. We know that's what's going to make them successful. But then lastly, and this may sound a little bit trite, but honestly, we need people who have a strong desire to want to help people. Because what we do is we're coaches, and a coach is it's a very unique relationship. I mean, you actually form a bond with your coach, because you're really giving people the gift of your presence. A lot of times people haven't asked them, what do you want your life to look like? What is your dream? People don't typically get asked that question, and
right.
certainly people, and for the most part, aren't good listeners. So what we really look for is people that have a strong desire and capacity to want to help individuals, whether that be an individual or whether that want to help a business owner reclaim their original vision for their business. Because I have always believed, when you pick up that phone to call somebody for the first time, if you are not a genuine person, if you can't come across as being empathetic and compassionate with people, then people are going to pick up on that and you're not going to be successful. So apart from, hey, it's nice to have a nice business background, yes, we want people who are marketers, we definitely want people that are going to follow our system, but
right.
you also have to have a strong desire to want to help people, because that's honestly what you do as a coach.
That's a great response.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best answer to that question.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just to help people, because, part of business, of course, you want to build a business, make money, but you want to have some peace of mind. It's just a nice feeling to help people. You eventually find out, they're in the right franchise, they're having success, and you had a lot to do with that person being successful and growing their business and helping their family. So,
Well, here's what we tell people, and this really sounds very, to a lot of people, this sounds strange, and that is, our system isn't intended to screen people out. Which is what I referred back to earlier, that we work with, the 70% of the adult population who has that grain of sand or that desire to control their own destiny, and they may not be ready today. Our system is not about screening people out. In fact, we tell people, don't have preconceived notions about whether or not you think this person is going to be able to, place in a business or not. You just you make no decisions, and you just follow the process. Because we believe that if you treat people with dignity and respect the same way that you want to be treated, that good things are going to happen. And regardless of whether that individual person winds up investing in a business or not, guess what? They know a lot of other people that are like themselves that may want to invest in a business. So if you help them, if you help them and educate them about career alternatives and business opportunities, regardless of whether or not they wind up placing in a franchise or in business for themselves, they're going to refer other people to you who may, in fact, wind up deciding to go on. So it's not about trying to screen people out and say, hey, I don't think you have enough money, so I'm not going to waste my time talking to you. It's about educating people. It's about delivering the service. And if you do that, and you do that consistently, and you talk to enough people, good things are going to happen.
I agree.
Right.
What's the training like for your new franchisees, Brian?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that we're really most proud of, as I alluded to earlier with our technology piece. But our training is not really a single event. It's really an ongoing process. We have a unique Jumpstart program, which goes over the course of it's an intense program over the first 6 months. Our training starts with an automated process where they actually through our distance learning, our e-learning system, begin their pre-training before they ever come to training. Part of that is the logistical aspects of what you need to do to get your business up and running. But then the other part of that is the reading, the materials, reading the operations manuals, reading a book like The E-Myth Revisited. That's a very big part of our philosophy in terms of how we coach people. And so we begin to give them that before they come to training. They come to a 6-day training academy here at our headquarters, or what we call our Performance Enhancement Center, and then they go back to their offices, and then they begin the second series of virtual training, which is additional courses that they take as follow-up courses online. The training also involves working with a coach. They have a coach, a regional developer, that they work with every day for the first 90 days, and then once a week for the first 6 months. They come back, which is kind of unique in franchise, and they actually come back after about 60 to 90 days for a phase two academy. Because, you know, when you first learn a new skill, there's only so much you're going to be able to absorb. And, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose. The brain is not going to be able to absorb everything. And studies have been done by the American Society for Training and Development, which show you know, you only retain about 25-30% of what you learn in a training academy anyway.
Right.
So one of the reasons why we bring people back after 60 to 90 days is they've done the business for 60 to 90 days, and they have a whole different perspective. In other words, now they have a frame of reference. So now they can come back and say, hey, I'm pretty good at this, but, you know, I need a little bit more training in that area. So that phase two class is really what allows them to fine-tune and hone their skills. And then there's additional 3 months of the Jumpstart program. And then we do automated training classes, as I said, and live training through the web every other week permanently. So there's a tremendous amount of training that's provided between the live training and between the e-learning programs.
That's incredible. That's a lot of training.
Yes, it is.
What is a typical day like, Brian, for your franchisees, if there is such a thing as a typical day?
Well, you know, again, as I said, it's going to involve a lot of different activities. It's going to include talking to prospective people who believe that they, you know, may want to take control of their own destiny, and taking them through this coaching process, asking them a lot of questions about their career, what they're trying to achieve, their personal life, because that's a part of it, your family is a part of it, and the reasons that they're looking to make a change. So there's a lot of coaching discussions like that that are happening. They're going to be doing networking and marketing. They're going to be reaching out to people, leads that they have. We have a brand building fund, and people who are interested in becoming self-employed to respond to our various referral partners, so they're going to be contacting them. They're going to be a grassroots part of the community. They'll probably be going to, you know, a luncheon, either a chamber function or a B&I function, or perhaps speaking to an outplacement group of people. So there's going to be a large, you know, networking component to that as well. And then also, they're going to get to learn about all different kinds of businesses. Because we work with about 200 franchise companies across a swath of about 70 different industry sectors, they're going to be on the phone with franchisors, talking about their candidates, learning about that business model, presenting their candidates to those franchisors, and then helping to coach the franchisor and helping to coach that client as they go through that process of looking at different franchises. So there's a variety of different things, from their coaching discussions to marketing to networking in the community to speaking with franchisors in the franchise community.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Brian. That at what point does the franchisee start learning about all the different franchise systems? That's during training, or that's part of the ongoing process as well, it sounds like?
Well, they begin to learn about it during the training process. The unique thing is that we don't want our coaches to be the experts on every single franchise. That's really what the franchisor and the franchisor's rep is supposed to do. What we want them to learn is the coaching process of helping the people to identify their goals, needs, and expectations, and then learning basically the market niche, the typical customer, and enough about that opportunity to determine that it has the potential to meet our clients' goals, needs, and expectations. And the way they do that is there's something that we call SourceLink, where the franchisors do two things. They deposit their information about their brand and the type of candidate they're looking for. We have a process where our coaches can go in and actually input some key factors, and then it'll come back with a list of franchises that have the potential to match those key factors. And then they begin to learn about them by reviewing those profiles online. But really where they learn about them is through two ways. The franchisors record a web session, talk about using technology. Most of our franchisors use our own internal technology to record a webinar about their opportunity. That's factored into their Jumpstart program as part of their learning process when they leave the academy. They're supposed to listen to so many of those every week. And then they really learn about it as they begin to talk and have real-time discussions with the franchisors, but it's actually part of the Jumpstart process. Again, we don't want them to be an expert on it because we still want them to be objective because, you know, we take an objective approach. You know, we represent our client as opposed to the franchisor, but they do need to learn enough about it to be able to determine if they believe it's going to meet their client's goals, needs, and expectations, and they do that through the technology and through the discussions with the franchisors.
How often is that list added to, you know, maybe a new franchise system you feel can be part of the eSource, you know, group of franchises?
Well, it's an interesting question. We have a waiting list of franchise companies that would like to be part of our system because of our branding and because of our market share. And the determination about adding new franchises really is in the hands of the franchisees themselves. We have a franchisor review committee, which is made up of largely franchisees, coaches, and regional developers, one or two representatives here from the Performance Enhancement Center, and they process those requests. Franchisors go to our website and complete applications, and they process those requests and meet on a monthly basis to evaluate the different franchise opportunities. So we do add franchises, although we don't add a lot because we have a good diversification in our portfolio right now. The reason that we would add another franchise would be if it happens to be something that is in an industry sector that we're not well represented, which is becoming less and less since we've been in business so long, or if perhaps it is a franchise category that is popular, and because the franchise companies we work with may not have as much territory available because they've been sold out, then we'll consider adding another franchisor in that business model that might have open territory available. So we evaluate that every month, but there's not huge swings one way or another because we have a relatively stable base of franchise companies that we work with. But the decision is actually made by the franchisees themselves as to whether or not they believe that this will be a good addition to our portfolio.
That was a very good question I had, right, Brian?
It was a fantastic question.
Now, you've been a franchisee.
Did you think of that, or did you have that written down in advance?
This is what we do. You know, this is why we're good at this. But anyway, I mean, you know, you've been in franchising a while. Yeah, you have a lot of great experience. What advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise currently, Brian?
Well, the advice that I would give, not surprisingly, would be that you need a coach. You know, instead of trying to do it on your own, you need a coach. I mean, it's just, I mean, probably not the best analogy right now, or maybe it is the best analogy right now. You know, when you go to buy a home, you know, most people buy homes through real estate professionals. And right now, there's a lot of homes that are out there that are available for sale, and you could drive yourself nuts going through, searching through the internet and trying to find a home that you believe is going to meet your lifestyle needs and goals. So you go to a realtor, you tell a realtor, hey, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this kind of a house. I've got kids. I want, you know, a neighborhood that's got good schools, whatever the case may be. It's the same thing when you're looking to invest in a business. This is a big ticket item. You want a professional giving you some guidance or advice. So my best advice for you, whether it's our company or another one, is to go to a coach that is going to be objective and that is going to provide you good advice and be able to, you know, bounce off of someone. And you need to open your mind up to looking at things that you never would have considered before. Just because you like a product or service does not necessarily mean that you're going to be good at running that business. There are many, many, many ways to make money, and keep an open mind is my best piece of advice. I mean, there are so many different opportunities that are out there right now that you may not even think of. You know, one of the areas that is just growing exponentially as far as franchising is concerned is senior care, elder care. Now you wouldn't necessarily think of that, but because you know, the baby boomers are getting older, you know, baby boomers are living longer because of, you know, medicine, that type of thing. There's a huge need for senior care. That happens to be an industry sector that is growing exponentially, and you may not have thought of that. So there's many, many different industry sectors that are growing even in this economy, and you need a coach to help guide you in that direction.
It's a good point, but Marty and I have always been very pro coach, consultant. You know, use an attorney specializing in franchising and a person specializing in real estate to help with the lease for you know, a lot of franchise systems out there. And myself being in the financing business, a lot of people come to us, see our websites. They come, they ask us, you know, what's the best franchise, or I haven't chosen a franchise yet. For years, we've always been directing them back to a franchise consultant and coach. Even work with some of your, you know, people as well. You know, some of the what I call e-source or tests, as you guys are known around the industry. But yeah, very important. It's, you know, it's a big major decision. They have to make sure they're making the right decisions, and who better to point them in the right direction than an entrepreneur source coach. So, you know, great advice, Brian.
Well, thank you. We think so, and like I said, we, you know, we always tell our people to put their clients' interest above all others, and so it's nice to hear, you know, comments that come back from our clients and from professionals like yourself that that our coaches are following our operating system and what our motto is, which is your success is our only business.
Right.
Great. Brian, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on the Entrepreneur Source? Is there a particular website they should go to or a phone number they should call?
I would suggest that they go to our website, which is www.thesource.com, www.thesource.com. The other thing that they could do is that they could log on to our proprietary portal, which would also eventually direct them to a coach, which is called Franchise Match. That's actually going to take them through a mini coaching session right online, and that is www.franchisematch.com. And that will take them through a little series of questions to help them kind of begin to think about what kind of business that they would want to invest in, and then eventually that directs them directly to a coach. So either going to our main website or franchisematch.com, a Franchise Match might be, you know, something to check out if you kind of even think maybe that you want to do that.
That's great. We'll post it actually up on our show page, Don, as well. So we'll get that there today so our listeners can you know, go to that, because that sounds very informative. And I want to thank you again, Brian. You've been a fantastic guest. And I think Don and I would like to have you back in 2009 to keep us up to date as far as what's going on with the Entrepreneur Source.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Love to. And again, thank you very much for the invitation.
Our pleasure, Brian. You have a great day today.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah. Interesting.
Which is very informative. What a training program they have, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, from the pre-training to the phase two, I mean, that's just, that's incredible.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, I mean, again, myself being a professor, I can relate to, you know, a lot of just information overload. You know, a lot of times you just throw so much information that we throw a lot of information at our students, and you don't get
to
retain everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 3,000 franchises, people out there looking for the first time, you know, what the heck do I invest in? They've narrowed it down to 200 they feel covers all the industries and are solid franchises with history. And So that really narrows it down and makes it easier for that eventual investor. So interesting. You gave, as we expect, the great information.
Absolutely. So it was a fantastic show. And next week we have, was it DeCornu, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the one your mom is going to be listening to.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, we should have your mom call in that day. So.
Want to be a good show.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, it should be a fantastic show. So great job today, Don. And again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, go to gofranchise.com, and franchisefunding.net. And
exactly.
I'll be speaking to you next week, Don.
Great job. Have a good day, Marty.
You too. Thanks, Don. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.